Grace, peace, and mercy from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Decisions, 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 and more decisions. Seems like they're never ending. From the time we are born, we are continually making decisions. To cry or not to cry. To sleep or not to sleep. A little older, maybe. To play or not to play well. To share or not to share well. To go to school or not to go to school. To do your homework or not to do your homework. To chase ones of the opposite sex or not to chase ones of the opposite sex. Then later on, to go to work or not to go to work. To be nice to my spouse or not to be nice to my spouse. To pay my bills or not to pay my bills. You get the idea. And depending on what your age is, you will find yourself somewhere in all that. And the things according to where you are in your life and at your age. The to-dos or not to-dos. Something that relates to you. Whether it is at home, at school in your life, or at church, at work, or wherever and whatever, there are decisions to make every day, every hour, probably every minute. Some easy, I think. I'll wear my green shirt to church today. And for some of us that are colorblind, I don't really care, but it is a big decision to make sure it's not green. Some are learned, some are clear to us, some are gray areas, some mean a lot to us, others we could care less. Some of us are good decision makers and thrive on them, and others hate the very thought of having to make one. But one decision that we all have to make, one way or another, that relates to today's gospel reading, is the decision to obey or not to obey. Especially here in America, the land of the free, we literally are taught from birth that things are up to us. We can decide whether to obey. I hear parents say this. Well, I don't discipline my child. I want them to grow up making their own decisions. And I hear all the time, I don't have to listen to you. You're not my boss. I hear it all the time. I don't have to listen. I don't have to do that. The crime rate in the world is the highest it's ever been. Murders are common conversation. Stealing by even high-ranking officials and bank managers now. Pregnancies are now are even into the lower teens or less of age. Divorce rate is the highest it's ever been. I'm painting a great picture, right? The world is in a financial crisis. Kids are smoking in elementary school. The Lord's Prayer and religion kicked out of schools. Suicides are at an all-time high. Substance abuse is in every family. Rapes and attacks are everywhere. Common talk. All this in the land of the free. Now, having said that, I enjoy my freedom, and I wouldn't have it any other way, of course. I like my cake and eat it, too. But an unfortunate symptom that comes along with all this freedom, we have become a society of thinking we are in charge and able to do what we want. And we can pick and choose what we want to listen to or who we want to listen to. Not to get on a history kick here, but some of us that are old enough to remember what it was like back then, but if you didn't listen, you paid a price. We suffered the consequences. More than once, I had a good boot in the can for something I did, and I learned my lesson, and I knew not to do it again. My first BB gun when I was young. We used to go over to my uncle's farm, and we were on our way there. I was so excited. But what led up to that was my father spending tedious hours of instructing me and teaching me and training me, not only how it worked, but the laws according to it, what not to do, what to do. I mean, I came from a hunting family, and we said the Lord's Prayer, and then we said, okay, and this is how you handle your gun kind of a thing. And don't ask me why. I couldn't tell you to this day why I did it, but this was my first day on my way to my uncle's farm. I'm all excited. We drive into the driveway there. I jump out. They're unloading the vehicle. I start loading my BB gun. As they're walking up to the house, I cock that BB gun. I'm just so proud. I've been over all the rules. I take aim and I shoot my uncle's mailbox. My dad booted me right in the can. I left the ground. I remember he booted me so hard. I never saw that gun again for a year. But he disciplined me, but I knew not to do that again. I knew the law. I knew what was going to happen. I don't know why I did it. Don't ask me. I don't know. But in today's lesson in Matthew, Jesus is giving part of his Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is telling them how to love, and that true love comes from loving your enemies and those in need. You see, God's law actually demands, doesn't ask you not to shoot at the mailbox. It tells you. But demands us to serve our enemies. We are literally, as his children, required to give up everything we have and are to make the lives of our enemies and those in need better. He says so. This kind of love, of course, is selfless and is only the kind of love that Jesus expressed when he walked here on earth. He was always feeding the hungry, healing those in need, and caring for the oppressed. Always. Everything we read about, that's what he did. In our Old Testament reading in Leviticus chapter 19 today, he even instructs the farmers to leave the edges of the harvest fields uncut for the poor and the aliens, and not to second cut or pick up the waste, but to leave those spoils for the poor and needy, whoever might need them. Today we begin with verse 38 of Matthew chapter 5, part of the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus talking. You have heard that it is said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. Well, whatever someone does to you, you can do back. Sounds like a lot of the highways I've been on lately. You go down these highways and you see these people flipping each other off and even swerving to each other. They accelerate to pass you. It's eye for an eye. Fight for a fight. That's what they do. Verse 39. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. So if someone cuts you off in the Kmart parking lot, not only do you give him the right of way, but you give him your front row parking as well. How do you do that? I don't know. You see, if we are to be Christ-like and obey him, that is what we need to do. It sounds silly, and we automatically go to the opposite end. Our first instinct is to be angry. Our first instinct is to strike back, whether it be verbally or expressionably, if that's such a word. And what we do in the world represents whether people see Christ in us or not. I remember several times when I was working in Hornell at the Tribune, I was a manager there, and I would react or overreact to certain situations once in a while. And let's just say that I would say a string of words that were probably not so Christian-like. And people are quick to say, I thought you were a preacher. Got me. There's just no getting around it. My words had led them to believe that I was something else other than what I professed. They had nothing to do with how much I did. Didn't matter how much I went to church. They could care less. What I was expressing right there. What kind of love I was showing them. And it wasn't the right one. Verse 40. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let them have your cloak as well. Well, I have never sued for my tunic, but I think you get the idea of what happens there. Anyway, I won't go over that one. Verse 41, if someone forces you to go a mile, go with them 2 miles. And I used to use this expression actually where I used to work. If your boss says to you at the end of the day as you're getting ready to go home, I need you to stay an extra hour and finish up that project. And, you know, usually I would get a lot of disgust. But, you know, there was one guy that was on to me and he would say, how about if I stay 2 and get it done for you? Okay, we'll do that. Your boss will love you forever. Verse 42, give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. These are all difficult, every one of these. Because the first thing that pops into my mind anyway is how badly they need it, or are they going to pay it back? I think that's one of the first things that pops in our mind. And do we think that not only will this person pay it back, will they pay it in a timely manner, and can I really afford to give it to them? And who are they? We judge, we make decisions whether or not they are worthy or not. But it's just the opposite, according to Jesus. He wants us to give to others as he would, and then rely on him to take care of us. That's how it is supposed to happen. I remember back at the beginning of Julie's accident. Brandy was in college, and she came home for a weekend and dumped one of those things on me and said, Dad, I need all this camping equipment for a class. We're going camping next weekend, so I need to get it now. And I said, okay, exactly what do you need? And she rattled off, and it was going to come to close to $300. And, well, that's just about every penny I had in the bank. But, okay, Brandy, that's all I had. But willingly gave it to her, got all that stuff. She got an A in the course. But I gave her all the money I had, and that she got it, and it worked out well. Well, I was supposed to go see Julie. It was the next day. It was like on a Monday or Tuesday I was supposed to go see her. But I was broke now, and I just said to myself, well, I'll just go when I get paid at the end of the week. No problem. You know, I've done it before. I can do that. That day, I went out to get the mail, and I opened up an envelope. It was from Erie, Pennsylvania, and it was addressed to me and the family, Gary Shaver and family. No return address, no name in it whatsoever, just an envelope with a card. It was a Christian card. It had God things written in it. I can't remember all the words. That's horrible. But in the card they had written, and not word for word, but they had written, I'm praying for Julie and your family. God bless you. And in that card was a $100 bill. Now, coincidence? Yeah, probably not. No. Verse 43. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. You see, it's just the opposite of what we sinners would probably want to do. Love means listening and obeying our Savior and doing as He tells us to do. How tough is that? Very tough. It is probably the exact opposite of what we want to do. Even though we love God and we want to do what He says, on that instant, we are just notorious at reacting that way. Last fall, after one of the huge windstorms, and you probably think of them in your mind, we had, and I have a line of pine trees on the side of my house, big ones, big pine trees. Well, about, I'll exaggerate and say about 1,000 branches decided to break off that tree in that windstorm and fall onto the ground. And before I had a chance of picking up those off of the ground, however many were on my neighbor's yard, he decided to go out there and pick up the bigger ones, and he just kind of threw them into my yard. He threw them. I had my boat on the side. They were in the boat. They were on my ATV. They were in my garden I had over there. They were up against the dog cage. But he threw them up in disgust. He had thrown them out of his yard. Now, my first reaction was, what a jerk. What a jerk. I remember thinking, I'm going to go over there. I'm going to knock on his door and say, hey, give me a day. And then I got thinking about it, and I got thinking about it. You know, and said, you know, who's the jerk here? It's me. Because my first reaction is to be angry. And even though he was right, I should have been out there. Even though he was right, he shouldn't have done it that way. I had judged all that. That's exactly what Satan wants us to do, you see. He wanted me mad at my neighbor, and he wanted me to be that non-Christian-like person. So I went out, picked them all up, every single one of them, every single tiny little stick. Now, my neighbor never said anything to me, but he saw that Christ-like reaction and not that Satan-like reaction. And why? Verse 45. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes His Son, S-U-N, to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. We are all creations of the same God. Verse 46. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And I preface this here a little bit. It's not like God is saying, ignore those whom you love or don't help them. That's not what He's saying. But it's the others of the world that need to be shown God's love so that maybe they can find Christ and that love that you have, that light. You may be the only example or servant of God that they have run into. And it may be your calling. God may be watching down, watching you and saying, okay, this is what I need you to do, and then you do the opposite. Now, are you loving them? Are you loving your enemy? This may bring them to the light of Christ, which may convert them to follow Christ. You never know. Verse 47. And if you greet only your brother, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Not being Christ-like puts you in the same line as what the pagans do. When you take a look from the outside, even though you may say, but I go to church, but I go down to that food kitchen, but I do this and I do that. But if your example out in the world is the same as the pagans, you are no better than them. You are not reflecting that Christ-like. You are in line with them. Verse 48. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Not all the time, but most of the time when dealing with enemies and not so desirable of the world, we do or initially think of doing the exact opposite of what we are called to do. The person at work who badmouths you all the time may be the one God is telling you and using you so that he can come to Christ. And there is only one way to do this, and that's to pray to God to give you that kind of heart that can love all people. And through the Holy Spirit, put aside our own sinful selves and to be obedient to the Father. It's not easy, and we on our own cannot do it. It is very easy to just ignore them or react negatively, but it is God-like whose Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for us. He was obedient to death, and that's what He calls us to do. But He calls us to imitate Him always. Is it easy? No, not always. But it gets easier as you pray about it and give it to God. It really does make a difference if you walk as a light to the world as Christ did. Just think what it would be like if everybody did that. It does not mean you have to like everyone. You don't have to like them to love them. But to be a good servant, you have to love them. Don't judge, just love them, be that light, and let Christ do the rest. Amen.